Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you are following us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Give us a 5-star rating. It massively helps us out. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pitchside. That is energy right there. As you can see, we are joined by standing co-host, replacement co-host for the man on holiday, Mr. Theo Baker, the wonderful Calfrisci.
Well, please, what I want to know is, at the end of, by the time you've listened to this whole thing, you've watched all the clips on YouTube,
yeah.
Please let me know, should I be a permanent replacement for him?
I'm not, well, I don't ask that question, because we know the answer.
I want to know. But yeah, we are also joined by the lovely Kamathy Kirkham.
Well, that's a very lovely intro. Thank you so
welcome,
much.
Welcome, welcome. Yeah, how
I'm
are
good.
You?
I'm not too well, to be fair. I feel like I've got food poisoning. We've got this massive bucket. That I don't even think, like, if I pissed in it for a week, I don't think I'd fill it up.
Hopefully you don't fill it up in this episode, basically.
True, yeah. Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
I'm not going to, I mean, yeah. I was going to say, you know what, let's keep it going. But this is genuinely a first across all the podcasts I've ever been on or worked on. This is, I've never had a guest request a bucket.
No, it's true.
Yeah. So congratulations.
That's okay, man. I like to be one of a kind.
Absolutely.
Outside of the poorly stomach, how's life?
Good, mate. Just kind of, you know, cracking on with my podcast, just doing stuff, and happy to be on this. Like, I love the new set as well.
Very good.
What does it remind you of?
It actually reminds us of Wembley Stadium, if you're asking. If you're asking.
Nice.
Is that what you're going for?
That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's cool.
You really are in tune with podcasting. Well done.
You've matched your outfit to it as well.
I love
it.
You know the reason why?
Why are you wearing it?
Take a little applause for a second. The women brought the Lionesses. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Chloe Kelly women. With the winner.
Yeah, lovely. Bringing it home.
Absolutely.
Did you know that she tore her ACL?
I did know
this. Not that long ago. Yeah. Came back, and this was her first ever goal for England.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Was the tournament winner.
Yeah, she had a 3-month recovery period before she scored the winner in the Euros.
Some people don't even come back after an ACL, do they?
Yeah.
Mental.
Crazy. Yeah.
So, congratulations to the women.
Yeah, yeah. Watched much of the tournament or?
The final. I watched the entire, I watched full 120 minutes of the final.
Yeah.
Mm. And
impressed?
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually.
Why are you smirking?
Because I was impressed. It was a lot better. Is there, I've got a question actually. I don't know if you will know the answer. Women's club football and women's international football, is there a big difference in quality?
I feel like club football's better.
No way.
You don't think so?
No, surely international's better because the pool of talented people are much smaller.
It's the best players from each team.
Yeah.
But in club football, the same system occurs. Like, you have better facilities
in men's, yeah, but that's because we've got loads of...
If you look at, like, the Arsenal or Chelsea women's training facilities, or even the... Like, Man City have a mini Etihad for the women.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about... I don't care about
I'm talking about the big clubs in women's football are very, very good. And I think if you put those in an international stage, they would beat...
They would beat the international teams. Yeah. So similar to the men's game then.
Kind of, yeah. Only at the highest level, but obviously you drop down a little bit.
Interesting. The point I was going to make was that I feel as though the football I was watching in the final is a lot better than the football I had watched of other women's games.
Right.
At club level.
Yeah. I was watching the Newcastle women and they had 46,000 people at St. James's Park watching them.
Really?
46,000.
I do want to ask something though.
In the fourth division as well,
right?
Is it actually,
yeah.
So okay, like that. I love that. That's great. I'm there for the sport.
Butt coming.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like those tickets are free or at a very small cost, right? So you see, when people go, like there are 46,000 people. That's great that people have turned out, right? But to compare it then and be like, wow, 46,000 people, and then compare it to, you know, any other stadium where you pay like a full price to go to it.
True, but it's also been going for a lot less longer, hasn't it? So like that, if they had to pay like £30 for them tickets, there probably would be about 15,000, but I don't think there'd probably be 46.
I would just like to retort your point. because I've just been informed that the three highest European attendances this season were women's games.
Yeah. Well, how much were the tickets?
I have
in
no
your
idea
face.
Of that. I was
no,
just...
no, but that's the point. I'm not denying that loads of people are going to these games. I'm just saying.
Here's a question, though. Do you think if men's tickets were free, you'd fill out stadiums as much as women?
Because, of course.
No, but because the crowds you get in men's games are very different to the crowds you get in women's games.
Mate, there is nothing more than what a guy likes than free shit.
No, well, that's true. But, I mean, they could also go to a women's game. The problem is a lot of the general public don't feel safe enough going to a men's football match because of the sort of hooliganism and football culture in English.
Is that both
English
male and female? Would you say, like, don't feel
safe?
Well,
I mean, you take Wembley in the final, for example. I feel like I saw way more families in that crowd than you'd ever see in a men's competition.
Yeah, one, because it's easier to get tickets.
Yeah.
And two, because it's cheaper.
And do you know, you not think there's like a safety factor there that families feel
Yeah,
right?
Maybe, but... So I went to... I watched Liverpool versus Barcelona Champions League, where we got packed in 3-0 at the Camp Nou.
The Messi... Right?
The Messi Royale.
Yeah.
I was in there, and I was surrounded by... families and women at a Champions League game, right? So I don't know whether maybe it's a British culture thing where people don't feel safe going to the games, but in Spain there was no problem. There were way more women and families going to men's games than there is in the UK.
Is that not because the Camp Nou is like iconic and like people will like travel even if they don't?
No, these are Spanish. These are like local people. Oh, okay. It wasn't just like tourists just going there to check it out.
Oh, first,
yeah. So I don't know. I just think
it's
that
an interesting point.
I think if the tickets are cheaper / free or even just cheaper, I think you fill out the stadiums for sure.
It's a fair point. Mm. But from one final to another, Community Shield.
Oh, what a segue!
Your team, congratulations!
Thank you.
Another little applause.
Biggest trophy in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some Liverpool fans already saying that you're on for the huge quadruple, because that's the
mecha quadruple, the quintuple.
It is quintuple, actually. I've butchered that. It's not in the quadruple.
The mega quadruple, aka the quintuple.
Five trophies on the cards.
I mean, I struggle to see how we don't do it this season.
Yeah.
You struggle to see that?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that Nunes is a better signing than Haaland based off what you've seen in that first game?
No. I'm actually... You're like a
non-Nunes...
I am not. I am not entirely convinced.
Really?
Right?
Why?
And I am... obviously, I am a Liverpool fan. Yeah, and I would love to see him do amazing.
Yeah.
Right? And my biggest thing is, right, people are telling me, right, obviously I don't watch the Portuguese league, right? I've only ever seen him in the Champions League.
But
right?
You know what?
Most people, everybody on TikTok, Twitter, it's not like you're watching week in, week out.
I agree. Right? Most people don't
Let's
admit that.
Stop
Most
pretending people, yeah. Yeah, that you're there, 100%. Tuned in
100%.
To every fucking game, yeah? Okay, so, right, now that we cut the bullshit, let's not pretend that everybody watched the games. All right, boom, we've done that. We've watched the highlights, his goals from last season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? It all and people always tell me that's just the type of player he is, right? But like his finishing and everything is great, but it's not like they're not like amazing. They're not impressive goals, if that makes sense. He's just at the right place at the right time, and he gets it in the back of the net.
But to be fair, right, the same player Jota is kind of, if you're saying that same right place, right time, is he not an improvement on Jota? And how well Jota done last season? Surely.
Like, fair point.
Yeah, Nunes is going to fucking blow that out of the park.
Yeah, he did well last season, but he wasn't in... Like, he would come in if there was, like, an injury in that front three, right?
Yeah.
And I just think that... Or maybe it's because I follow a lot of Liverpool accounts that I just felt like the bubble around it, right, was like, we had just signed, like, the next big thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Suarez again.
Yeah, and maybe that's why, in my head, I'm there like, I just can't see that. But then, obviously, in the final, he goes and wins us a penalty. The header was going off target, but ultimately he won us the penalty, right? And then he gets a goal. And that goal that he scored, right, is literally exactly the same as the goals that he'd been scoring. You know when I said I watched the goals and highlights, right?
Yeah.
It was that.
Yeah.
And I was there like, fair play, if he can just keep doing that in the Premier League... then fine. He is gonna be a good signing. But it's just like all the goals were just in and around the 6-yard box. He's just and I was there like when I watched like Haaland, he just seems to have more. But with that being said, he bottled that game big time.
Oh, he did.
Very true. Yeah, but also, if you're comparing like Haaland and Nunes, like Haaland is like a freak. Of course, Nunes is probably not going to be like individually as good as him. But I still feel like he's a great signing. Like how, because if you've got like what Firmino, Jota, and obviously Origi, but Origi's gone, right?
Yeah, he's gone.
So surely Nunes is the top of the pile for them.
Yeah. I mean, we're not spending that money for him to sit on the bench, right? Which is fine, but I think it is interesting to see that, okay, is both Klopp and Pep now just going to have that guy, like that focal point up there? Because before they would chuck anyone up front. Like we had Mane up front last season, who by the way did a fucking stellar job.
Yeah.
But it's not like he's not like a number nine, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Makeshift.
Yeah. So it's interesting that both of these teams have sort of made similar signings at the same time. Is this the way they see, like, is this the way to break down the way a lot of teams were just sitting back defending against us? Balls were getting chucked into the 6-yard box and we never had anyone to put in the back of the net. Is Nunez the solution to that? If that is the case, then fair enough, he might go and do it. But just like watching the type of goals, they're just scrappy goals, and it's tough to watch that and go, that's a superstar, or that's the next big thing. He could absolutely smash it, right? But it's just not appealing to my eyes.
How many goals do you think he gets then first season? Because to come into a Liverpool front three that is probably historically been one of the best front threes in the world for the past 5 years and hit at least try and hit the ground running.
I mean, what's interesting is that Firmino started that game.
But do you not think he started that game as like a homage to how much he's given? Because Community Shield's not like, it's not the Champions League final.
It's the most important trophy, mate.
Yeah, for the
part of the quintuple match.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, like that's almost like a well done, Roberto, for your.
I mean, I saw it more. I didn't really see it like that. I saw it more like you have to earn your spot in this team.
So you think Nunes is second fiddle already?
Not necessarily that, but more so like we just letting him know, like almost like a you just because we've paid this much money for you, you don't walk straight into the
side. You're not undroppable.
Yeah. So it's not like you've guaranteed your starting spot just because we spent a bunch of money on you. Like Firmino is more than capable of doing a job up there, and that's the way I saw it. But yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is more of like an appreciation for Firmino.
It's just technically a preseason game, right? So I mean.
It is, but I don't know. Like, no. It is, but like both teams started strong sides,
100%.
I think it's just like a thing. Like you take that game seriously because the next game is the start of the Premier League, we've seen you drop 1 point in that league, you lose the title.
So, like, how many goals? I know we didn't actually say a number, but how many goals do you feel like that's gonna kick on?
Okay,
surely it's 20 plus.
No.
Seriously?
In the Premier League?
No way.
Or you mean all...
Like all competitions.
Okay. Yeah. I feel 20s... Like in that system, to get number 9 with enough...
You think it's going
to
get less than 20?
Okay, so we're assuming no injuries. Yeah, he can no play injuries. Well, for the most part, right? Yeah. He plays... We're assuming that he's a starting player for the most part. I think he does like 15.
15?
Total.
I just think... most of the goals probably going to come from Salah again. Yeah. Right? Luis Diaz, if he can finish, right? The funny thing is like we've got Nunez who finishes everything that comes to him. However he gets it done, Whereas Diaz is in the complete opposite thing. He does all the hard shit and then it's just the final bit he struggles with.
I just think with like obviously Salah cutting in, Diaz cutting in, all them rebounds and how scrappy Nunez looks.
Feeds he's gonna post it.
Yeah.
Look, I would love to be proved wrong here. I would love it. And if that is how he gets most of his goals, then fair enough. And you're right. He could end up with loads. Mm. But it's not going to be solo effort. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to be him taking it past one person and then bending it into the far corner. I don't see that happening.
But that's both of your wingers. So why do you need him to do it as well? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get that. And do you know what surprised me about him, actually? He was a lot quicker than I thought he was.
Oh, he's rapid.
He's quick, man.
Too. Yeah.
We had this discussion before. He's like 6'2".
He's like Andy Carroll with like sliders on.
It's true. So, I don't know. I just the honest truth is, I've only watched the goals and highlights, and they didn't impress me.
Okay, but Klopp's an amazing manager and nurturer of a player, so I think eventually, could come good.
I can imagine just you sitting in front of Nunes and going, "Yeah, watch your highlights. They don't impress us." Yeah.
No, if I see him, I'm there like, "Yeah, mate, you're an absolute poacher. You're a legend of the game. You're gonna smash it."
I tell you, who doesn't look like a poacher, or at least didn't in that game, is the other number nine that we've discussed a little bit, Mr. Erling Haaland.
Absolute success. That man he's doing 30 goals this season.
All comps.
Assuming he doesn't get injured, right? Yeah. Because I know there's a lot of chat about him being...
Is the key in it, really.
It is.
He's obviously, what, top two, three potential future Ballon d'Or contenders, right? I mean,
mate, he's got that dodgy Spanish doctor now. Yeah. He was there the other day. He was literally in Spain the other day.
City's medical staff hit different.
Do you think that he needs that like pep first season?
I agree. This is the reservation that I had with him is that system wise, I think Nunes fits Liverpool way better than Haaland fits City. And I think his break in time takes a little longer because I don't think.
Are you just saying that because he missed? But he had the opportunities in that game.
I've said it for months. Yeah. But I mean, now it looks good because people have watched it happen and gone, actually.
Why do you think that, though? Is it because of he likes balls in behind?
Absolutely. And if you play the likes of Mahrez and Grealish, every single time they go forwards, they come back and they just recycle possession. Did you see the amount of runs that Haaland was making in behind? Mm. Not a single person looked for him. And the guy's just like, right, walk him back, go do it again. All right, anyone? But
reverse pass.
The only person that really does that for City is Kevin De Bruyne. Mm. And I feel like if Sterling and Foden played with him, he'd be a much better asset because they're obviously looking to penetrate. But I completely agree. I think Haaland is a world beater, but I just think he takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, because what about you? Yeah, I think he'll do well. I don't think he got 30. 30, I think.
All comps.
In Prem. Because I think he's just going to batter teams in the FA Cup.
I think he does that. Like 20.
20?
In the Premier League. That's fair. I said 15. But yeah. First season, right?
So. More than Salah?
No, Salah's golden boot chasing. I
do think Haaland will get like Premier League, I think 15. I think he's going to, this season, I think he'll be really good. But for some reason, I just have this weird feeling that he needs that season. Like, I remember Sane, his first season was like, all right. And then the second season, he was like, mint.
Even Cancelo.
Loads of... Rodri.
Yeah. I mean, the only exception I can think of is like, maybe Ruben Dias, who basically went pro of the year in his first season.
Yeah.
But Sterling as well, right? Sterling in his first season was, yeah.
Yeah. Pep coaches people into his mould. Mm. And Haaland is like, a guy that... needs to fit the team structure.
So what you're telling me is if he does 20 in the Premier League this season, we should be very concerned about the following season.
Yeah, no, honestly.
The bloke will do 30 odd the following season.
Honestly, I think long term, he's bagging like 35 a year. But
in the Prem?
35 a year?
Yeah, but I mean, well, actually, no, not 35, sorry. Like maybe 25 to 30.
Yeah.
Because the amount of players that have actually ever got over 30 is so minimal.
That
when Theo turns around and says he's doing 39 in the Premier League.
Is that what you said?
Or yeah, somewhere close to. You go, well, that's never happened in history, but I mean, we'll give it benefit of the doubt.
This is very early, right? And obviously, like, he hasn't even played a Premier League game yet, but do you think he's going to leave the Premier League as one of the best ever strikers?
No way. I think he leaves to Real Madrid in like 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he has that release clause in his contract, doesn't he?
I think he's already... I think
he's timed it so it's the same year that Pep's contract runs out.
Yeah.
So that
bastard.
So imagine Pep leaves, Haaland leaves as well at the same time. Like, that's a pretty devastating blow to City.
We might
actually win the fucking title at that point.
I think you got a chance anyway.
Yeah, no, I know. But I don't know. Between those two, I think Haaland outscores Nunez this season. I think he does. And you watch that game and people are already making the memes and all that crap. But he had the chances on a different day. They're both... those chances go in and he's walking away with two or three.
Yeah.
He's going to bark off. Yeah, he's going to do it.
The signs are there that success
is imminent.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I think he's a Champions League purchase though, right? Like,
to win the Champions League.
Yeah, I think the priority behind his purchase is to win Man City the Champions League.
He's just a scary fucker. Like, if I was in the Champions League playing against him, I'd shit myself. Like, he just runs
more
like
so
Pac-Man.
Than today.
Yeah. Fuck's sake.
Right. Well, that's just Man City's priority in general, though, is the Champions League.
Yeah, at this point, like, it is. At this point, especially with the. What did they say? The. Pep's got like a thing on his. I don't know. What's the expression?
Go on.
What's the expression?
A chip on his shoulder.
No, it's not a chip on his shoulder, but like something looming over his head that he needs to win the Champions League.
Oh, okay. You know, like a dark cloud saying,
win the Champions League. We need to win. I also want to discuss another player that was, well, at least heavily involved in the scoreline, Julian Alvarez.
Love him.
I actually do. I think he's so bloody good that people are yet to see the light. And I'm excited.
Why have they
season.
Signed both of them?
Well, Alvarez is like, he plays across the front three, so yeah. I don't think he's necessarily going to take the number nine off Haaland.
Do you think they both play at the same time?
Yeah, well, you saw they did.
Yeah, I think more often.
Yeah, like if Pep runs a meritocracy, right? So if Riyad Mahrez and, I don't know, Jack Grealish start playing shit, then Alvarez and Foden are straight in.
Yeah.
And if they play well, then they keep the place and then...
So I've got a question. Way. So do you think for City this season, what do you think their starting front three should be?
Should be.
Or like, what do you... obviously, it's Pep roulette every week, but...
Yeah.
What do you think is their strongest front three?
I think if they want to get the most out of Haaland, it has to be Foden and then probably Alvarez.
Not Mahrez.
No, he's too slow. His transition comes back every time. He's always looking to cut inside. There's no, like, working behind. You never see Riyad Mahrez try and play a through ball at Man City.
But do you know...
That doesn't suit...
He drags, like, two or three players over to him.
But the problem is, if you play Grealish and Mahrez, so similar.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, in the way they play, they try and drag fouls out, they'll come back inside and then look for a cross. And then when you have Cancelo as well, who also kind of does that, it doesn't really work.
So you think Alvarez, Haaland and Foden?
I think by the end of the season, that will be their best front three. Because Phil Foden is just ridiculous. I mean, you can't...
Leaving Mahrez on the bench, though, after everything.
He plays,
Sterling's gone and...
Yeah, it's true.
Like, that, mate, if I'm him, I'm thinking... What the fuck am I doing here?
But he plays Champions League. I mean, he's happy to play Champions League, isn't he? I call him midweek Mahrez.
That's what he does, right? That's a vile, man.
It's true. The amount of minutes the guy gets in the Premier League compared to, like, cup competitions is crazy. But
were you surprised they let Sterling go?
A little bit, considering the people they brought in.
Yeah.
Kind of suits Raheem's play style a bit.
I don't know. I think it was the right time.
You think?
I think it was the right time.
Raheem.
It was. Yeah. No, I do. I think. A lot of people actually really are like pretty set on the fact that Sterling's going to rip it up at Chelsea.
He's better than Pulisic, I'd probably say he's better, like, I think he'd do better than Mount in, like, an attacking position. I honestly think he'll rip it up.
Really?
They'll play together, right?
Yeah, they'll play together.
Mount's servicing Sterling.
By the way, I haven't watched any of Chelsea's preseason here.
Oh, it's awful.
I've heard it is. But, like, what is their front three?
It's Mount, Havertz, Sterling. That's the most recent
Mount,
one.
Mount, Havertz, Sterling. Oh, yeah. That's so... And so what...
Timo,
I've heard
Timo's
linked
with Juve,
yeah.
So I don't think
Newcastle.
Saw that.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard it was like involved in a potential swap deal for Gvardiol at Leipzig as well.
That would be so sad for him.
Nah, he can't do that. Man, that's a confidence. Like, just in terms of...
He Lukaku
like,
and goes, I'm back, baby.
To Leipzig.
Speaking of Newcastle.
Yes.
You are heavily linked with... Mr. Maddison. And actually Harvey Barnes, but he got injured the other day, so I don't think he'd go after him.
Yeah, James Maddison. We had a bid for, I believe, was it 40 million?
Yeah, 40 million.
And then yesterday I was reading there's a second bid that is close at 50 million, which I think is like absolutely... Like, right, James Maddison, a baller, right? He is
proper
a baller. But he's had one England cap, like... He's got more like snapbacks than fucking England cap.
Can't be judging a player's value off of their international caps.
Okay, first, but 50 million for a guy that can't get in the England squad. I think he's amazing. I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
If you get him for 50 million, that's class. Yeah. That is such a good addition for your team.
That's just pure saturation of the position, though. Like, he's competing against all of more expensive players. He's competing against the 100 million pound player in Grealish, you know?
That's fair for Man City paying 50 mil. That's fair for like Chelsea paying.
Mate, you are now, shut up, as if you're some small club.
You know what? This is the curse of Newcastle now, because when you walk around going, "Hey, I got loads of money," people go, "All right, we're hiking the price of our players."
But do we go around saying we've got loads of money? Just everyone mate, else says that.
Oh, it's no, common mate, you're now, owned man. By a country.
Yeah, this is.
What do you mean?
Allegedly.
It doesn't take a genius to go, "Oh, well, they haven't said they have lots of money. Maybe the Saudi government just maybe they're bankrupt."
Absolutely. I thought first season of transfers were really respectable because you weren't taking any shit when people said, "Oh, we want more." You go, "No. I just don't want to make the transfer." But this year, now that you're looking ambitious and want to get some places, teams will ask and demand more money for their players.
The Man United, people did that to United all the time.
Yeah. Nick Pope for under 20 mil, I'll call that a bargain.
That is a good bit of
you lot love a bargain.
You literally relegated Burnley by taking their two best players.
Yeah, we did, to be fair, and that was beautiful. Like, they deserve to go down. Like, come on, like, they want borrowed time, Burnley. Like, nobody went on Match of the Day and went, "I can't wait to watch Burnley."
It's true. It is true.
Like, no offense, but like, I didn't want to watch Dwight McNeil ripping up the wing.
Everton now as well. They don't even have
is
him.
That Everton?
Yeah.
And him and Anthony Gordon. That's a likable wing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And they're number 10. But I was speaking to some of my mates from back home who are obviously Leicester fans.
Yeah.
From Leicester. And they were saying we wouldn't let James Maddison go for less than 60. Now it's interesting because it looks like Kasper Schmeichel is leaving Leicester.
Yeah.
So apparently Dubravka might be linked in that in that transfer saga. So it'll be like a Dubravka plus money for James Maddison.
Okay, so I heard I think Rodgers just came out and said he's happy for the two keepers to battle out for the first.
Ward.
I swear to God.
That is not
we'll get a producer quality, to confirm that. But he genuinely came out and said, "I'm happy. Like, we have no intention." And that could just be him just saying so that they don't, like you said, jack the. Yeah. But I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if Leicester went into the season with Danny Ward in the goal.
Yeah, I did. I read. Yeah. So Rodgers came out and said that 40 million would get three quarters of James Maddison's
left leg.
Are you
going to, like, fucking shut the fuck up, him, man? Like, what's he? He's a Scottish Steve Bruce, Brendan Rodgers. No one cares. Like, I like Leicester. I really do. Leicester are an amazing team. But Brendan Rodgers, like, if he was the manager of my team, I'd be so bored.
Why? He's lived through an era.
Exactly.
We almost did it under him.
Because
well.
You had Suarez. Absolutely. You had Luis Suarez. Fucking Brendan Rodgers. Or is any like Leicester, right?
But James Maddison is a talisman of that football club.
No.
There's a certain English tax as well. Premier League tax.
Yeah.
Newcastle tax of being rich as fuck. Yeah. All this combined, you've got to pay.
I'd pay 60. Look, if I was Newcastle, I'd pay the 60 mil for him.
I agree with you, right? Maddison for Leicester. If I was Leicester, I would want 60 mil because he's like you say, he's the talisman. He's the from Leicester's point of view, you want 60 mil. I totally get that. But for Newcastle, in our midfield, like, because Madison's centre, kind of, he's not really a wide
player.
Like a 10. Yeah, like a 10. So we have Bruno, obviously, Bruno Guimaraes, Joe Linton.
Oh, baller, by the way.
Baller. Joe Linton.
Player of the year, wasn't he, for you guys?
Joe Linton. Yeah. Unreal.
Do you like him, yeah?
Oh, me, so
the resurgence and Eddie Howe just moving him back to centre.
He's such a sexy motherfucker, Joe Linton. I absolutely love him. Like, he's... What I like about him is he's one of them...
Sorry, players. I've completely taken us off the... Continue with the James Maddison. We'll talk about Joe Linton in a second.
Okay, right. Sorry. James Maddison. I think...
Where does he fit?
We've got Bruno, got Joe Linton, Shelvey, who's, like, transformed under Eddie Howe.
Or Joe Willock.
Joe Willock as well, though. Joe Willock. But I just think Maddison, for us, it's not worth paying that much money. We need other positions.
But do you not think it's reflective of your ambition, though, if you go after a player like that? Like, realistically, you've signed Nick Pope, Matt Target, and Sven Botman this window.
All great signings.
Yeah, you get Maddison on top of that. Where do you think Newcastle end up? Or where would you like to see that based on the amount of action that you've had in the transfer market?
With Maddison?
With Maddison and building on Eddie Howe's success last year?
I think, I don't think anyone realistically thinks Newcastle are going to get Champions League this season.
No.
I would say, if we get in the Europa Conference, I'm like, fuck's sake. But I want to get in the
that's
Europa.
That's good. Yeah, that's an improvement, though.
True,
that's...
but like, no one really cares about the conference, does it? Like, I'd be in, if I was in the Europa League, like, if we got...
Top six.
Six is right? If we got sixth...
That's such an overachievement, man.
It is an overachievement.
Top six. I've got Newcastle to finish sixth this season.
Have you actually?
No, yeah. You haven't.
In my predictions, I've got them. It was sixth and seventh
I think they're eighth for me. Yeah. I'll put them eighth.
I've gassed up because I just think that, like, when you're in the moment that Newcastle are in right now, where, like, the fans have never been more excited about the club and everything is just so positive, morale in that team must be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, good things happen when your club's
momentum,
in a place like that.
Well, momentum.
We've beat Atlanta, not last game, second last game, and we beat Athletic.
Atlanta or Atalanta?
Atalanta.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Bilbao as well, right?
Yeah, and Bilbao recently. That when we had like nearly sold out ground for like a friendly, like the fans like under Steve Bruce and under Ashley, like it was so toxic. Whereas I think it's went from, like you say, the momentum. It's went from horrible, terrible to like good, but that change has just made everyone just perform out the skin, which gets us a little bit worried, just to like dampen expectations a little bit. I don't know if now the season's finished that the momentum, obviously, will it still carry on
absolutely
into the new season?
Because you've made three really good signings.
If you, if you keep picking up players and start,
I'm telling you, James Maddison, you guys pick him up, you pay 60 million for him, it's great.
I think
it's good. And what you have to remember is now, especially now, you literally have an unlimited pot of gold. You've got to stop thinking like, oh, it's 60 million. That's not a great way to spend our money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Who fucking cares? One, it's not your money. And two, I don't think you realise how much is sitting in that bank account.
Okay, right. If you win the lottery, right, but you're broke, you're like, I still feel like you'd be like, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to buy, I'm still going to buy like Tate and Lyle sugar. I'm not going to go for like the expensive sugar.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? So
you are in the early stage Man City takeover fan period, but where you're like, I still want to get a bit of value out, but now they're like 100 mil
bang, no bag, problem
get the player a season's time
you'll
be like a shopping list
to
be going through European footballers and be like, no, he's pretty good, what, 75 in the bag.
Do you think that if James Maddison comes, he would be a better signing than Bruno?
I still feel like I need to see like a full season, because he only started actually starting towards the end of the season, right?
Yeah,
and he was amazing. And I actually think he's such a fun player to watch. Like, what it actually made me want to watch Newcastle, right? Besides Will getting in my ear, I actually wanted to watch him because of him when he was starting. So I want to see what a full season looks like, but I actually think he's class. Whether they're different players, aren't they? Like, I think both of them in the team would be phenomenal, and I think you do challenge for that top eight.
Two players with proper creativity.
Yeah.
I think that's Callum Wilson just like licking his lips every day of the week.
Oh, 100%. I also think it's like, we've been used to like, no offense, like, if I don't, they'll probably not watch this, Matt Ritchie.
Oh, he's watching. No, he said he's a fan of Pitchside.
Yeah, a huge one.
Shit. Ryan Fraser, like, good players, right? But now we've got like players with just like
foreign passports.
But they're like functional.
Yeah,
now
true.
You've got players with flair and...
Yeah, like drip, like Saint Maximin.
Joe Willock, the king of drip.
Do you know how many people are going to walk in like a represent t-shirt and Dunks and Carpenter jeans?
Yes.
I'm going to be like, yes, Willock, Bruno, like Saint Maximin, Wilson. Like, oh, it's going to be like fucking like the local flannels. It's going to be sold out. I love it.
So from one set of players that you're very keen on to an individual player that you're very keen on, Mr. Joe Gomez. I've been hearing whispers, mate.
Let me tell you.
Joe Gomez fanboy.
Actually, which camera's my camera? That one there. Listen up. Yeah? Listen up. Why? And I'm talking to all the director of sport, the chairman of the clubs, whoever's in charge of the transfers at your club, why are you not in for Joe Gomez? As a Liverpool fan, I'm fine with that. I know, contract.
You want him to
just
be game
signed.
Time?
No, oh. I just can't understand why there is not more interest in him as a player.
Right.
He is one of the best English fullbacks right now. Wow. He doesn't get enough game time.
Fullbacks?
No. Centre back.
Hybrid, sorry. I suppose.
He has played fullback, yeah. But he is one of the best, right, English centre backs, right? And I get it. He doesn't get enough game time, and I can understand why the England selection isn't there for him. But he is better than most of the centre backs on that team sheet.
Are you calling out Gareth Southgate?
Mate, I am not a fan of Gareth Southgate as it is. Really? That's a different conversation.
Okay.
We can get a different clip out of Gareth Southgate. But let it be known, that will be closer to World Cup time. Just know that it's very unfortunate we're going into World Cup.
Where do you think Joe Gomez is comfortably capable of playing in?
He could play for a top team.
Is he better than Nathan Ake?
Yes.
You reckon he gets straight into the Man City team?
Yes. Straight into the Man City team.
Well, Ake's playing there at the moment.
Yeah, but I don't think he doesn't. He doesn't play for City. He doesn't start for Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah,
right?
But he can't.
Yeah. Either. So who are? Yeah, but and Matt obviously injury prone, and we've got Konate as well. Like, it's tough to be a centre back at Liverpool right now. Like, we have really good centre backs.
Is he fourth choice?
He is
fourth choice, but which is again the reason why I'm saying I can't believe that there aren't more clubs there. The thing is, he has just signed a new contract, which kind of did surprise me, because I'd seriously think if I was him, I think you can go and play at a top side. Like, we've seen him in one of the recent seasons. He played alongside Virgil for a lot of the season, and they were an unbelievable pairing. Admittedly, it's pretty crazy when you look at our back line, and particularly centre backs, when they're not paired with Virgil van Dijk, it's like they don't really know what they're doing. So if, like, we had, I think it was Konate and Joe Gomez.
Right.
I think they played recently and we got trounced 3-0 by Strasbourg, right? But it's like, as soon as you pair a centre back with Virgil van Dijk, they just become world class. I'm not joking.
I'm an advocate of this idea.
Yeah.
Of like, people seem to think that VVD is not one of the greatest centre backs of all time.
Oh, yes.
I don't hear it. My argument to present to you is put anyone with Van Dijk and they do a job. Do you know how good that makes a player
absolutely
to be able to make the person next to you better?
Anyone, are you saying? Because if you were Kieran Clarke with Van Dijk,
I seriously think you would be surprised.
Yeah, honestly, he'd do a job. He would do a job.
No, but I genuinely think that he, like, Joe Gomez at Arsenal.
Mm. Really? Ooh, that's...
I think he's better than Ben White.
Better than Gabriel.
But I mean, Saliba's probably looking at that position now.
I don't know. I really do think that Joe Gomez does a job at a top side.
So, well, let's discuss some of the players that are ahead of him in the England lineup.
Yeah,
because,
and I'll tell you whether
important.
So
we've got Harry Maguire, number one.
I think he goes ahead of him.
Really?
So you have him at United.
The problem is with yeah, mate. You take you fucking United be on their fucking knees. At this point,
he would never go though. You'd never transfer from Liverpool to United.
Right. I mean, yeah. What's weird when you talk about Harry Maguire and England is a very different conversation to Harry Maguire.
That's true.
But it also does annoy me, because that was the issue that a lot of England fans complained about with England, was that they were just sticking with all reliable. Do you know what I mean? Like, we would just go for the players that we know would do a good job for England, and it wasn't really based on form. But then Southgate has come out and said, no, I'm picking based off form. I mean, if you do that, then he's nowhere near the team.
It's true.
Right?
But neither Joe Gomez, right?
What's that?
Neither Joe Gomez.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that without the game time, you there's no argument for him to be in that side, right? And that, I completely get that. But I genuinely think, like, as a player, if he was getting the game time, I think he makes the England side.
Yeah. I mean, some other names are Mings, Stones, Connor Cody. I mean, these are all like pretty high profile.
I think Stones is really good.
Yeah,
I like so, and I think I mean, what would you say about, like, both of them? Like, both of them as a starting.
I think Tomori's got to be ahead of Gomez because, like, he's what I think he played like 30 games for AC Milan last season.
Yeah, winning.
Yeah, exactly. And going,
he had an amazing season.
Going
yeah.
abroad to like Italy, where it's like renowned for like defenders and stuff. Like, surely he's just like streets ahead. I'm not saying it as a player, like if they both were playing, but I just think he's surely streets ahead of Joe Gomez right now to get like starting for England.
Yeah, because of his game time.
Mm. But is that not because he done the move and he like actually...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I think Joe Gomez should make a move. Mm. I think like, obviously not from a Liverpool, but I want him at the club. Greatness. But I seriously think he's good enough. Whereas he goes there, and then I think you start having him in a similar conversation. Go to Italy. Just that's all I'll say, right?
It's these Chris
fucking leagues. Yeah, these fucking leagues over there, bro. Get yourself over there. You're getting a Hall of Fame, bro.
Italian Hall of Fame after two seasons. There's also White and Dyer ahead of him, but obviously you've already discussed fucking how you feel about
Dyer. Not Dyer. Well, certainly ahead of Dyer. Maybe I just like a nimble centre-back as well, though. Yeah. Like a quick centre-back. Yeah. And so that's why I like... Stones, pretty nimble. I
mean, even Walker plays it.
Yeah. Well, so maybe it's a bit of bias coming in there, but
we're 5-2 to make the World Cup squad, but that could all change few months.
He needs
Nobody
to move.
Really knows the England squad anyway.
But he's just signed a contract, hasn't he? He's just signed a new contract.
Can he not go on loan though, just to try and get in the World Cup?
Squad? I don't think they. Yeah. I mean, but if he wanted to make the World Cup squad, I think he would have made a proper effort to leave. Yeah. This window.
I agree with you. I think he is a baller, but I just think surely from a mentality perspective, like why, unless you truly believe that you're better than like
the people in front of you. Yeah.
Like why in his head, why is he staying?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the pay is probably really nice.
True.
I honestly, I couldn't tell you. I've seen a few people ask that question. Like why is Joe Gomez staying? And yeah. I don't know. It must be, honestly, like if he is a competitor and things like that, he must genuinely believe that he can get ahead of Matip and Konate. But we just signed Konate.
Yeah, it's true.
We wouldn't have signed him if we weren't going to...
You don't replace Van Dijk.
Maybe he's...
three players for one spot at that team.
Yeah. Maybe he's like, Klopp's got his nudes on his phone. He's just like...
He's like, you're not going
you're
anywhere.
You're not going anywhere.
To be fair, though, like, what amazing depth to have
in
that position. I mean, because let's be honest, like flashbacks to the horror season that we had only a couple years ago. Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, I'm not surprised he wants to have four solid centre-backs now.
Yeah, I mean, you also have the golden boot chaser, Mohamed Salah, who has been recently in contention on social media of being compared to Wayne Rooney. Oof. How do you feel about it? Of all time, who's had a better career in the Premier League? Who's the better player?
Salah.
Really?
Yeah, like the stats. Like you can just go off the stats if you want to go. If you want
to
do
but
that.
But is everything down to stats?
No. But I think you just watch. Like he's had an insane influence on the team. He quite literally put the team on his back for a long time now. Like, mate, we're talking about like 30 goals a season. This ain't a fucking joke.
Absolutely. We've discussed how difficult it is to hit that number, but are they even comparable? Like, I saw it on Twitter and I was like, they're not the same.
They're not like for like, obviously.
No, of course.
Right? And you can, but you can have the conversation about who had more of like an impact on the team or. Yeah, like who
do you? But it's the question is essentially who do you take for your team, right?
Yeah,
who do you take for you? Who would you take?
See, with me, like I love Rooney. Like I don't know, I thought his man, why he done that series that Wayne Rooney Street.
Yeah, that's iconic though. But that's nostalgia. You're a nostalgia merchant at the moment.
But I am right, but I'll bathe in it. I love it, right?
That's fine.
I think just for me, like Rooney, I just think right, Salah, unbelievable. One of the best players I've ever watched. Like, I'm not saying Salah's shit at all. Just for me though, just Rooney was just when he's like scoring from the halfway line and his technique and like the way he bring people in and the way he drop off and just, I think we kind of do like disregard Rooney a lot. And I see a lot of people go, oh, he didn't hit the heights like he should have. He was like, what, like England's record goal scorer, Man United's record goal scorer. What more can you actually do? I know you get, obviously, Salah 30 goals a season. Salah's an absolute freak. But I think we'll compare Rooney or like we'll hold up the standard where he should be like Messi and Ronaldo. But no one is Messi and Ronaldo.
I agree with you. I think Rooney is underappreciated in the grand scheme of things, like massively. Yeah. I think he doesn't get the credit that he definitely deserves, but I do think Salah is the better player.
Well, if we do do a little stats comparison, Rooney has.
Should people? Can I just say people? Because no. 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold up, because it's actually a massive thing in football is nostalgia, right? Mm-hmm. And people and you can look so favorably on someone. But like right now, Salah's an active player. You have very recency bias. So how did he end last season? Pretty poorly. After Africans nation, it was pretty bad. Right? Yeah, he had a bad ending to the season, right? So people have that in their mind. But if we were having this conversation after his first half of the season, where he was on to do like 40 goals or just something ridiculous, wasn't he? Like his goal rate was it was ridiculous. Yeah. Then I think people go, yeah, it's Salah. So recency bias, when you have when you're comparing an active player to a retired player,
it is
too much. So I think the best way to do it is honestly leave that conversation till Salah's retired, and then you can say what you want to say.
Yeah.
See, I think if you left it until Salah retired, I think I'd have a different answer. I really do. I think I'd probably say Salah.
I think you'd have to, because I mean, if Salah continues at the goal scoring rate he's had 4 seasons with over 20 goals in the Premier League. Rooney only have had 2.
Yeah. What if he retired today?
Oh,
Rooney. Come on, please.
Because you kind of would have to say Rooney for the longevity, right? Because I mean, the career that Salah's how long has he been in the Prem? 5 years? 6 years?
Well, what are you including his first stint?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, Chelsea as well.
Well, look, Rooney was obvious. I mean, but he came up through that league. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. If Salah retired today, I'd go Rooney, I think. But
he's not retiring today, so we don't need to have that conversation. What a silly question.
In 3 or 4 years' time, when he's picked up 2 more golden boots because he's got 28 goals, et cetera, and got 2 more Premier Leagues potentially, who knows, then...
I think you've already spoken about this, but I don't actually know the answer. Just quickly,
yeah, mate.
Who do you have nailed to get Golden Boot this season?
Harry Kane,
Salah.
Yeah,
who you got?
I think Son might do it.
Son,
okay. But by the way, what a player!
What a baller!
That's all I'll say. There's no topic here for Son, but what a player!
He is absolutely ruthless, man.
I love watching him, man. He's
Salah has 157 goals in 255 appearances for Liverpool.
Yeah, that's mad.
That ratio is mental.
Yeah.
If he had Rooney's career at that rate, he'd have outscored him. Would need 96 more goals in 304 games. So I think that's probably going to get beaten as a ratio anyway, isn't it?
What's that?
Salah to Rooney's goal ratio.
Yeah.
If he continues it. Well, it depends how long he stays for, but I mean, pretty much.
It'll be interesting to see. It's weird because I also think that it's down to the system.
Of course.
You play Salah. Well, I mean, it happened before. He's played in teams where the system isn't like what it is today, and he doesn't go and get all those goals.
Was the, obviously Salah, the team is kind of built to make him do well. Was Man United ever built around Rooney?
I don't ever think so.
No.
I think he was just part of a great team.
One of the best.
Yeah. Well, Liverpool's isn't far off if you consider Premier League teams.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. It's up. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. He was part of a dominant side.
Yeah.
So that's why, maybe trophies and things like that, it should be looked at individual here.
Because
that team was a joke in the Prem.
You disregard group achievement.
Yeah, yeah.
Because.
Yeah. But a lot of people will bring that into it.
Yeah.
And people will say, oh, yeah, but look at Premier League titles and things.
It's the old Gerrard Premier League medal argument again, isn't it? We touched on it a little bit earlier, but I wanted to do the reverse side of the coin. We spoke about how Newcastle could benefit from James Maddison. Leicester City, big trouble.
Ropes for them, man.
Do you think they finish in the top half of the Premier League this year?
They stink.
Surely not.
They stink.
If
James Maddison actually does go, these lot are in a world of trouble.
I completely agree, because if he goes, they also are potentially looking at losing Fofana as well. Chelsea are sniffing around.
Yeah,
they're ripping the spine out of that Leicester City.
And Schmeichel as well, right?
And Schmeichel.
Schmeichel's. He's already gone to Nice.
It looks almost nailed to if, happen. I'm pretty sure.
It is Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It is Nice, yeah.
If your keeper, right, is like, because this has happened quite late, like, why wasn't this sorted, like, after the season? Why wasn't it organised? Like, he's been there quite a long time, usually, yeah. with a, like, a player like that. They'd be like,
captain.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
For the title winning years. Oh, and I think Wes Morgan was, but. Yeah.
But they'll be like, oh, like, with two games to go, they might be like, oh, I'm leaving at the end of the season. He's literally been in pre season and went, ah, oh, fuck this shit. Like, I have to leave. Like, and that should be, if he's the captain, that is like got to surely rock that whole change.
That is actually a very good point that I never considered. Yeah. Like, there was no indication that he was going to leave at the end of
for
the season.
For a player like, of exactly. that, like, yeah, like, importance like to yeah, the important. Team. And yeah, it's almost just like, not like a respect thing to the club, but you'd think they probably have like a really good working relationship. And yeah. he you'd like to think that he'd be able to, maybe at the end of the season, go, by the way, I'm looking for a new challenge, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you're right. Like, what
sorry,
he's just
lads,
rocked
just up to the south of France.
Fuck all. And by the way, like, let's be honest, like, that's a step backwards.
Oh,
right?
So why though?
It's not like Leicester have gone and signed some insane keeper and now he's there like, I can't be asked competing for my spot.
Yeah,
here.
I don't know.
So why is he leaving? And two, they're fucked in that position if they don't sign someone.
I think it just reflects the ambition of Nice, because I've just been informed that Aaron Ramsey signed yesterday for them too.
For Nice?
Yeah, so they're looking for that league and title charge.
Is he on 400k a week there as well?
That actually might be an influence if Kasper's getting way more money at that club.
I've heard that Leicester fans have been, like, a few of them have been saying Kasper Schmeichel hasn't actually, like, when we think of Kasper Schmeichel, you think of, like, the title win season, like, amazing, really good, and then the season after, really good. But
even in the Euros, mate. Yeah. Ridiculous.
But some Leicester fans have been like reading, saying that he hasn't been performing at that level for like last season or the season before, probably reflected in the form and everything. Might be to do with the defence or whatever. But maybe it's actually
he's
not,
on a decline.
Yeah, maybe it's not actually as big of a thing as we think it is.
Mm.
Fine, but then where's your replacement? Like, are you seriously telling me like Ward now is number one for Leicester?
When
a couple seasons ago they're challenging top four.
Yeah.
That's insane. And they bottled it twice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back-to-back bottles.
Yeah.
And now they just lost their keeper and there's not a keeper in sight.
And potentially their star man.
Maybe they do. Maybe we're just talking absolute woff here, because like, they might actually have someone literally, like, they say, right, you go, don't worry, we've literally got someone. Yeah. So it could just be an in and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think like Jamie Vardy is 35 now. Like he was like he can't do anything. Like his thing's pace, and now he's 35. Like he's kind of fucked. So I just think like their whole team was built around him. In behind, you know, like people couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Whereas now, is their striker Iheanacho?
And Daka. But
that's another conversation. Yeah. Like, make your mind up.
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I just think it's so sad because Leicester are actually such a class club. And I just think they've been...
I'd hate to take James Maddison off them. Boom.
They're such a great club. But,
what a great club.
Yeah. Hope you enjoy playing with Burnley next season.
Yeah.
Newcastle are going to be so hated.
You
have to
like
enjoy
a money bully. That's what it will
yeah,
be.
Yeah, we just like, have to live in like...
Oh, you really enjoy having yeah. in your club?
He's oh, that's nice. He's going to sit on our bench.
Yeah. that's
the
exactly
Man City
where the
way.
Money will go as well. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting as well because we've discussed a lot of players that are potentially leaving. And the one that I'm most excited for possibly leaving Leicester is Youri Tiedemans to Arsenal. We're still linked with him. But
you've been linked with him for
but
ages.
That's the Arsenal transfer saga that we're used to. Where it goes for 3 months, and then on transfer deadline day, we go right. We actually want to get this deal done. Boom.
Oh, so do you think the deal happens? End of this window, do you think he goes?
It's an Ozil job.
If not many people leave Leicester before the end.
If Maddison goes, he defo don't
no,
go.
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, if Maddison stays, Fofana stays. I think Tiedemans
could go.
Yeah, 100%. You can't get rid of keeper, centre back, centre mid, basically second striker. That is an entire spine of the team.
Can you imagine the traffic coming out of like their training ground on like deadline day?
Oh my god!
Everyone just walking out with the brown box.
Yeah. Sorry, lads. Dewsbury Hall, mate. You're now our main guy.
It's going to Nice.
Barnes could do without getting injured.
He has been injured though.
Yeah, but he, this is what I mean. Like he is, I remember there was, he had a bit of a purple patch. He
always
was on fire. Leicester
players,
is like that.
Yeah, Leicester City
Madison
players,
as well.
100%. They're a purple patch team, man.
And so, yeah, I wonder if it is like a Leicester thing. Like if James Maddison goes somewhere else, is it a thing where he's just on fire,
yeah,
or
yeah,
just playing at his best all the time?
Yeah.
Or is it or is he genuinely just a hot and cold player?
And it's interesting you say that because our final point of the show,
yeah,
is football conspiracy.
Ooh, okay.
That's a pretty good one. Is James Maddison a completely purple patch player, or is he capable of having a consistent season? Don't know.
Can I just say, yous were saying Newcastle should pay 60 million. Now he's like, I don't actually know if he's good all the time.
He slots into your side.
Yeah, 100%. That's an improvement. Regardless of what you say, he's better than Miguel Almirón.
He is better.
So, and he's doing really well in preseason.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to read you conspiracy theories. Okay, so we've got some conspiracy theories to discuss ourselves. I think we've prepared some individually as well. So we're just going to talk about what we get shown.
I don't have any individually.
Yeah.
I had one. But
you just go.
Yeah.
All right.
Lionel Messi has never done a post-match interview.
Is that true?
No, but this is the conspiracy. Oh. This is the point. We don't like it. It could be, but it also.
So this is just true or false? This isn't a conspiracy.
Almost, but I can't remember him ever doing one. So maybe.
He has done a post match.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen him when he was younger.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I've seen the clips of him there, long hair.
Yeah.
He has. Come on,
okay. Next
cover
one.
The news.
Benjamin Pavard only played one game in the 2018 World Cup and scored. What the? No, that's bollocks, mate. That can't be true because I swear I saw him in the game before.
Yeah, he was playing in.
Yeah.
But these aren't really conspiracy theories. These are what do you call it when you're there like, oh, the Monopoly man has a monocle.
Yeah.
What's that called? There's an effect, the Mandela effect.
Oh yeah, the Mandela. It's,
don't be fucking
it's,
chuckling
it's like
away
a,
over there,
it's
man.
It's like cheese and onion crisps being blue or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like everyone told everyone that it was, and then
right. So that's what these are. These are Mandela effects.
Mandela effect. We're
this is not conspiracy theories. Oh, sorry, but the title is of course conspiracy theories.
Do you know what? I feel really upset because this is like Theo's wet dream. Right now, really? Where if you say something convincingly enough, people go, fuck me, that is true.
Yeah.
And he's not even here to talk about it. I feel no one has ever seen Ciro Immobile, but he always ends up in a top scorer Serie A side. Ends up top scorer.
It's so true.
I think I've
ever seen him in an Italian shirt. I don't think I've ever seen him in a Lazio shirt. So maybe I'll back it, you know.
It's always the thing though. People are like, I swear he bags like 40.
Yeah.
Like he scores so many, and then but no one ever talks about it.
Can you imagine bagging 40 and no one cares?
Yeah. but Lukaku rocks up.
Yeah.
Puts whatever he does like 30 in or whatever, and everyone's there like,
yeah,
the god.
Well, it's the Mitrovic effect, isn't it?
This is a different effect.
Or the Mitrovic Mandela effect, where you bang 40 in the championship and people still go, mate, you're getting 4 season in the Prem. It don't matter how many you get, man. Like,
yeah, I wonder why. It's so true though. Like, why does more people not talk about him? If you're a top goal scorer,
mate, Dominic Solanke got over 30 goals in the championship last season, and people are nailing him on to get less than 5. In the Premier League.
Because it always happens
between leagues. It's just.
Yeah. I mean, Liverpool sold and they're like, I've watched him.
Yeah.
I've watched the ball.
It's Graham Brewster, wasn't it? When he went to Sheffield United and everyone went.
That was harsh.
This guy's going to pop in.
Yeah, that was harsh. Rian,
sorry,
it's
Rian.
Fine.
Sorry, lad.
Everyone goes through patches.
It's true. Every Norwich home game is played in beaming sunshine. You know what? I've never seen a miserable Norwich game.
Oh, here's a fact for you though. If you play on FIFA, it never rains at the Norwich Stadium.
Really?
It literally never rains.
That's a better one. Should have done that.
Well, it's not true, but okay. I just wanted to see what I could get away with.
Nice.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, it's true. You only ever see on Match of the Day. You only ever see Norwich highlights.
It's always sunny.
In bright yellow kits, sunshine, Delia Smith going. Yeah. Just the vibe.
That's another team, Norwich. They're like Burnley, though, innit? You watch them and you go, oh, fuck, I might as well watch it.
No, but I love a Norwich game because there's goals.
Yeah.
There is an absurd amount of goals, especially as a Liverpool fan. Love that. I love that fixture.
That is a fair call.
Yeah.
Mm. Guillermo Ochoa has never had a club and just plays for Mexico at the World Cup.
No. I've heard he recently transferred.
Yeah, you can't start Waffle, mate, because I've seen him play.
Wait, who
I've
did he just play. Transfer to? Once.
But it is kind of like believable. You kind of go, well, I haven't actually seen him anywhere else.
Another keeper one that I was, it's not really a conspiracy theory, but I saw someone tweet the other day, is Keylor Navas, right? Considered world-class goalkeeper. Every team he's at, he's second keeper.
Keylor Navas.
Yeah. The Costa Rica legend put in one of the best World Cup performances a keeper has ever seen. Every team he goes to now, he's...
No, the best ever World Cup keeper was from him.
Ochoa?
Yeah. What game was it? There was one particular game where he was quite literally superhuman.
I swear,
and that's why this international thing is stuck in everyone's head, because he had such a stonker.
Yeah, you pop it at the World Cup, people remember you for decades.
Rodriguez.
Exactly.
The volley.
Yeah.
Colombia.
Yeah, exactly. I swear there was a rumor that Ochoa had six fingers as well. Does he actually?
Six fingers.
I swear.
Shut up.
He has six fingers.
No, he doesn't.
I told you.
No, he doesn't. Oh, there was a rumor. Sorry, my God.
People had Photoshop glasses.
Yeah, because he had a class game and they went, oh, he must have six fingers.
Of course.
Not you sat there going, Jesus Christ, does he actually have six fingers?
Yeah, see him at the reach he's got on this fucking ball. He's just grabbing.
I've got a question. Could you genetically modify? Is that the next step in football? Genetically modifying people perfect for the game.
The
keepers with 20 hands.
General Grievous.
Yeah. I think, like, should a keeper be banned if he's got six fingers? Should he be allowed to play?
Disability. I don't think
is that a disability? I would say that's an advantage. There's nothing.
Yeah, maybe.
Pulling, like, you've got an extra finger.
Yeah, but sometimes it could be like when you get an extra limb and it doesn't really work. You know, like. No, but you're going to get...
Mate, it's a fucking hypothetical, right?
Of course. The
extra finger works. He can wiggle it around. Is he allowed to play in the prem?
I think you should start from a goal down.
Yeah. Every
game. Keeper's got 11 fingers, 1-0 down.
Or you're not allowed to use a glove on that hand.
Everyone's just saving it like a fish. This is a proper conspiracy theory. Steven Gerrard missed a penalty to get Roy Hodgson sacked.
I've heard this one. And when you watch that penalty, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Spin this up. He looks over at him. He literally looks at him. He's like,
Big Roy.
He shithoused that. He's done that on purpose.
Yeah, that. Oh, you know what? It's tough. People said this about the Bruno one as well, didn't they? Against Villa, where he just absolutely
rocketed. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you reckon? You're a Liverpool fan. You probably watched that.
I was happy to see Roy Hodgson go.
Oh dear.
But I don't know. I think that's a real low if you're doing that as a player. So as my image of Gerrard being this holy man, I'd like to think it's not true. But. I mean, the only way you'll ever find out is if he wrote it in a book, or if he writes it in a book, or comes out and says it. But you can see he's gone for like top bins, and it has gone over. But it's not like the Bruno one where Bruno like that is
that's knocking
worse.
Out someone at the top of Villa Park.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think he did it on purpose, but it's just funny the way the cameras are cut, because it's like it looks at him Gerrard, and then it just pans through and it's looking at him like, am I just gonna fuck you over here?
The reason why I think this gets so much airtime and people rate it that much is because of the quality of Gerrard.
Yeah,
if he was an average penalty taker,
sure,
you'd go, well, obviously that's definitely not intentional, but because you've seen him score so many worldy goals, the guy can put a ball on a sixpence.
Yeah.
And he could kick it over on purpose.
That's quite a good one, to be fair.
Yeah, it was a good one. Last one. Crystal Palace are always in bad form, but never in a relegation scrap. Yeah, that's true. That, yeah, I rate that one.
Yeah, do you know what? I would agree with that entire thing until last season. Because I actually thought that they had a really good... And it was like, oh, you're playing Palace? Like, you're in for a game.
Do you know what's mental about that? Is every time I looked at a Palace fixture and went, mate, Palace are going to do something here, man. This is... Yeah. And then you look and they're like 14th.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm like, mate, they beat all the top teams. They basically a banana skin for all of these bigger teams in the Prem. And then you look at the table every week and they're like, how the fuck are they still in 15th?
I really like Crystal Palace. I think they're like a really like exciting, like, you know, like out of the kind of like mid kind of lower teams, I think they're a really like exciting team whenever they're on. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's actually, because you never know what you're going to get. Like,
I will watch them, yeah. Burnley.
Yeah. No, I like Palace, and you know, the meme is just like about how good their fans are, because people always talk about how good the fans are, and to the point where people are now fed up. But
Selhurst Park absolutely rocking again. Oh, well done. Not like every other stadium.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you were curious, you mentioned that Crystal Palace were a banana skin for top teams. That's your first game of the season, isn't it?
That's one of my conspiracy theories.
Okay, talk to me.
Arsenal always open the Premier League season.
Is Palace?
No.
Oh,
no, generally.
Oh, what is it? Are you the first game?
Yeah, usually we're the first game of the season.
Oh, really?
From recent memory, I think it's been at least like 4 out of 5 of the last seasons that Arsenal open.
Alphabetical?
Well, it's not going to be done like that.
But is it... Like, obviously the fixtures come out, but then do they not actually get scheduled? So like
exactly, which is why I think it might be reasonably true, because when there's so many London games and the more London clubs that get added, there's more policing, traffic.
No, but I'm asking, like, what benefit disadvantage do Arsenal does anyone else get by you guys being first?
I don't know, but
it's just weird.
Yeah, I've read it as my conspiracy theory to try and get involved in it. It's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool have an interesting one, and it's a similar thing. Is and I don't know the exact stat, but recently our first game has always been against someone that's just come up.
Promoted
teams.
Do you know what? That sounds reasonable, one. You know? I can't remember a Liverpool season where they haven't kicked, like, smashed someone like,
first
5-0.
Game. No wonder Salah is captain.
Salah, Mane, fucking Jota are all charging at them every season.
Yeah.
That must be such a shock, though, to come up from the Championship where you've battered teams, and then you're the one getting battered.
But that's the curse of like Fulham and Norwich and all these yo-yo teams. It's like in the Premier League in the Championship they play this expansive, creative football, and then they rock up first game against like Man City and they've got to defend for 90 minutes. It's like a whole different game, isn't it? Oh yes, and now onto our favourite part of the show, the quiz.
Oh,
but you've done it before.
So it's just for Cam.
It's for everyone.
I humiliated myself.
I remember myself. You got one.
It's
a team
game.
Team quiz.
I like that. If we've got Reeve, we'll do all right.
Okay.
For the quiz, this is called The Last Five. I'm going to give you a Premier League based topic, and I want the answer for the last five seasons in order. Oh, so you're going to be like winner, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Relegate. Okay, cool. Champions for the last five Premier League seasons. So Manchester City just gone.
Okay, so we're going backwards here. Yeah. Okay, so Man City.
Fuck.
We won the COVID season.
That was the COVID.
It was last season, the COVID season.
Was Man City? Yeah, 21-22 is the one just gone. 2021 was COVID.
Yeah. COVID, yeah. Then we go back to... Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we go back to City.
City.
Is Chelsea not in there somewhere? No?
I don't think so.
What, so where do we have to go back to? 2017?
What year do we have to go back to?
Yeah, 2017. 17, 18. Oh, 17, 18. So in 18.
I feel like it's four cities and you, but I don't...
Is it?
Oh, no,
so
I don't
sad.
Think they've won it 3 times in a row, though, did they? Because that would be it when it went
I feel
City,
like
City, 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 Liverpool, it? City. Or did we just split it?
I know nothing about football.
Is 18? We've got to do it in order,
19.
Right?
Shit. No, so it's like 18, 19, the 20. I think we won the 19.
The 19-21. Wait.
How do I not
remember? How many?
COVID came in March.
God, do you know what fuck this is? COVID? COVID has absolutely scrambled
my
brain.
This is the worst thing COVID ever did.
Yeah. It's scrambled my brain.
There weren't any other winners in that period, were there? Did Chelsea win a Premier League season?
Liverpool That's won what I was the thinking. 20. Was it must have been 2020.
There's no other teams that would have come close to that though.
I need your answer, please.
We're gonna go City most recent. City again. Liverpool. City. Yeah.
Oh yes, that was actually really good.
What a lads.
That was actually really fucking good.
Yeah, March 20.
Because, I was there like, they haven't won it 3 times in a row.
No, yeah. Mm. March 20 was COVID, right? That's the only, yeah.
That was the COVID one. 2021 was not the COVID one.
Last 5 teams to finish bottom.
Rock bottom. Oh, shit. Oh, this is fun. We couldn't even do the champions. We're absolutely
Rock bottom is Norwich, most recent.
Right. Norwich, Fulham.
Not a bad shout. That's only 4, though. year before, I think, Sheffield United.
Yes.
Sheffield. Or was that the one before it? Oh, I think that was the one before it.
Right, who went down last season?
Well, the last season was Norwich.
Norwich was it?
Yeah, straight up. Definitely it was Watford Norwich. And Burnley. So bad. Then.
Okay.
Year before, I think, dead last Sheffield United.
Was Huddersfield not there?
They're a while back.
Yeah, but they could be in the last 5 years, though. I think they were.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think they're earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe the fifth one.
So we're going to go Norwich.
Yeah.
Sheffield.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they were the 2020.
Sheffield.
I feel like Bournemouth the year before. It's taken them 2 seasons to get back.
Yeah.
Surely Fulham are in this. Like.
Yeah, Fulham did have that Norwich, one honking season, man.
Oh, wait. Maybe it's Norwich, Fulham, because they're now back.
Yeah, Norwich, they've only Norwich, been away.
Norwich,
yeah.
Fulham, Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Maybe Bournemouth and then Huddersfield. Do you want to try that?
Fuck it.
We'll go with that.
Norwich,
oh, God, Huddersfield, right?
Sheffield,
oh.
Norwich, Huddersfield, oh. West Brom.
Oh.
That was actually really
Tom
good.
Tom Garrett's going to be fuming, mate. You didn't get a mention.
Yeah.
The Baggies finished. Was that really the 18th season?
That feels like ages ago. That
you know what? When you went Norwich, Fulham, Norwich, we got more right doing that, you know. Last 5 Golden Glove winners.
Okay.
Fuck me.
Recent is Christ. Allison, isn't it? Not Edison.
No.
Allison year before.
Allison year before.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was Edison.
Edison. Yeah, okay. That makes. I'll bet that. Edison just gone.
Edison just gone. Allison. Oh,
you know what? I think Allison and Edison shared a joint one.
Yeah, but that's what's confusing. Yeah, because they did share. They did share.
One of the years hasn't shared.
Most recent Allison Edison joint.
What this one? Just passed.
Just gone. I think. Just gone. Yeah. I think so.
Really? I'm pretty sure Edison, and then Allison, and then maybe Allison and Edison shared.
Or what? In the season you won.
No, we definitely, we would not. If we won, no, you're right. Yeah. In the season we won, it would have been Allison for sure.
I reckon shared, Edison, Allison, and then before that, I feel like it's somebody different. Like De Gea or something.
De Gea?
No.
That's a wild show.
No way. United have been off the pace for ages.
What about Courtois? No, he's a bit, that's a bit too. Is Courtois would be in the fifth season?
No, I don't.
What about a Chelsea keeper? Nah. Oh, what about Mendy?
I don't think he ever kept
I don't think that's a bad shout.
Oh, actually, you
I might think have I've heard something like that. Yeah.
The season. So, wait, so we go shared, Mendy, Allison, Edison, Edison. Or not?
It doesn't sound right.
Oh. The two, because if we know the champions, Edison, you'd think would have kept the Golden Glove for those seasons.
Yeah.
Then it's the Liverpool season, so we're back Allison. Yeah. Then Mendy. Mm-hmm. Just
why are we just chucking in Mendy like that?
Because I feel like he has kept a Golden Glove in the Premier League.
Or I could be just chatting shit.
All right.
No, let's go with that. Fucking come on, we'll be here for ages otherwise.
We'll go shared, Mendy, Allison, Edison, Edison.
Shared recently.
It was De Gea. De Gea's in there.
Oh my God, what a shout from you.
No, I knew it.
Wait.
All right, so shared most recent, then Edison again, then Allison in the season that they didn't win the title.
So what, we
and
didn't?
And then De Gea.
Allison didn't get the Golden Glove in the, wow.
I knew De Gea, mate, I knew
wow,
De Gea.
That was so, good no, wait, he must have worked miracles.
Yeah.
That season.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's 5 Golden Boots.
Shared.
Two seasons where it's shared.
Yeah, it's two seasons.
Shared.
Ago. Yeah, most recent shared. Son Salah. Season before Salah. Season before Aubameyang, Mane, Salah.
All shared. All three of them.
Yeah,
shared.
I'm 23. Wow. I'm pretty sure. Season before that, Aguero, maybe.
Aguero.
He was still there, and they won.
What about Harold?
Oh yeah,
Harry Kane.
I think Harold in that.
I'm on a back, but maybe I don't know. It's up to you.
Harry Kane, Aguero. Let's do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
So we went most recent Son Salah.
Yeah.
Then Salah, then the three of Aubameyang, Mane, Salah, then Kane, then Aguero.
That's such a specific.
Oh, was we close? Sané.
So, wait, Kane last year.
Wait, what? Wait. Oh, Mane. All oh, right. So we had Salah Son, correct.
Kane was last season before.
Kane was the season.
Kane was last season.
Salah didn't win it last season.
Vardy. Aubameyang, Mane, Sané's.
No. Mane.
And then Salah again. Blimey.
Oh, yeah,
we're not
Vardy.
Getting very many points here. No. We're picking the right people in the wrong years.
It's tough. This is tough, though, because we're talking 5 years, Bruce.
Yeah. Any more?
One more.
Okay. Vardy, golden boot. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was... Wait, no, that wasn't. When did he get a golden boot? How many goals did he get? 20... That's mental.
Vardy was like such a good player.
Unbelievable. So, I mean, he still is. Just obviously he's, old legs.
Yeah.
This one isn't the seasons. This is just...
Okay, so no, this is not seasonal. This is just the top five stadiums in capacity in the Premier League. Currently.
Say that again. Okay,
top
capacity
five capacity-wise. Trafford.
Tottenham.
Yeah, Spurs. Anfield, surely.
I say only 40, isn't it?
No, we've upgraded, actually.
Oh, sorry, man.
How many
I think we're 60. Anfield is like 60 now, or either that or that's the proposed plans. But I'm pretty sure that they're even doing extensions right now to it, I'm pretty sure. So I think we're close to 60.
Is it? So Emirates is 60, right?
Yeah, bang on, and Spurs is 61. We got Etihad as another suggestion. We got yours as another, but I don't...
I think 52 is just out of the top five.
Okay. So I know Old Trafford, I think, is the largest.
Mm.
Really?
That's like
such
70.
An old stadium.
Yeah.
I thought Tottenham's was. I thought it's like eight. Is
no, Tottenham's not
oh,
eight.
Shit.
Spurs is 1,000 more than Arsenal because they did it on purpose.
Oh, that's funny.
Really?
Yeah, so if one of them's making
so,
it...
So what we're going to go? We're going to go United, Spurs, Arsenal...
Etihad
and Anfield.
How many? Wait, are you? Do you back that Anfield's bigger than St James' Park?
What's St James' Park?
52.
I think so. Yeah.
Really?
It is bigger now. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
What are the stadiums?
Oh, it's either that or it's like, or we've just, or it's the we've
big,
extended. The main stand got a massive.
Well. How big's London? How big's West Ham? That's a.
Oh shit! Yeah, West Ham.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah, West Ham.
That's 50 odd though.
Is it?
Oh, so maybe that's ahead of Anfield then. If you think like that.
Ooh, it's all about this last one, I think.
Because 60 and 61 are Spurs.
Yeah.
Is the Olympic Stadium only around that? I thought it'd be like 70-something.
No, it's not that
big. It's
no.
not that big.
Well, it might be, I don't know.
It just looks huge.
We didn't really know anything. No. So.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of space on the sides.
Right.
But,
United, Spurs, Arsenal, West Ham, Man City.
Okay. Yeah. I think Anfield might be in there, but go ahead. There it is.
Old Spurs, Anfield, West Ham. Ah, so Man City for West Ham.
So we've got, so the way it goes Old Trafford, Spurs, Anfield, London Stadium, the Emirates.
I didn't think Anfield
so
was
really?
That big.
I know Anfield has recently made like massive upgrades. That's the only thing. I just didn't know.
So we got Liverpool and Man City wrong. We were 4 out of 5.
Mm.
And you know what?
That's decent.
It's the highest we've had.
Yeah, out of
actually,
all the,
no, we got the champions.
Yeah, we did get the champions.
And that's all that matters in the Premier League, anyway, isn't it?
Football's the winner. So
it's pretty mad that like just Liverpool and City are now just this dominant, and people say that. I mean, it's,
hey, I think Spurs are in for a serious season,
but not title contenders.
Maybe
surely.
Not title contenders, but they will be. They will be
dangerous.
Doing bits.
You said Son for golden boots.
So I like. I'm thinking it will be Kane or Son for me.
Yeah,
IMO.
That's fair enough. Right, boys.
It's been a
absolute pleasure talking ball. beat me to it. Thank you for coming on.
No worries. I appreciate the invite.
You didn't need to use the bucket.
Yeah, mate, we were so deep in conversation, yeah, you've survived throwing up.
Are you proud of us?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much.
No Theo Baker to force you.
Yeah, it's true. good luck with James Madison. Hope it goes well.
For fuck's sake, if we get him for 60 mil, I'll be fucking fuming.
No! It's like a bad take.
You're going to say that, and then like I'll see...
No, we're not doing it again, Reeve. We're not going into it again.
Yeah, anyway. Thank you so much for listening, guys. As always, please be sure to like, subscribe to all the clips that you see, and listen to us again next week.
Please, yeah? Please.
5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and we'll see you all next week.
Laters.